Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs Podcast. I'm Braden Olichek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, as we are ready to recap some of Chiefs Raiders from Sunday Night Football today. Also take a look ahead to what the Chiefs are going to be looking at, strengthening in practice this week as they get ready to battle Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, Sunday night's game was as advertised. Of course, a very exciting game all the way around, tight all the way around. And of course, the Chiefs, for themselves, obviously avenged their only loss on the season, getting payback against the Raiders from that Week 5 loss. And it's really interesting kind of to look at this game. So we're going to hit, obviously, on some of the main points, the scoring from both sides, offensively, defensively, what really stood out to me from both teams. But yeah, I mean, that game-winning drive for Patrick Mahomes, how that kind of last few-minute sequence was kind of played out, and of course, look at some things that I think really is still troubling or questioning right now as we look at the Chiefs, just from that game alone, too, going into a matchup with the Buccaneers. So looking at the game from Sunday night, from the Chiefs side of things, again, I was really interested to see because Sammy Watkins was still out. Mecole Hardman, even though he was activated off the COVID list, really wasn't sure what we were going to get there because obviously he had not practiced, in a long time. So I expected to see the running backs be used in a pretty creative way, and we really saw a good mix of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, and of course Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, one of the scoring in this game for the Chiefs, was his first rushing touchdown as a member of the team. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a couple of rushing touchdowns as well, so they both did really well. And the thing that's stuck out with Le'Veon Bell, really ever since he came to the Chiefs, he's not tried to use that patient style quite as much. He's used his physical power, which was actually always a pretty good asset for him to have. He showed it a few times in this game where he laid the shoulder down, out-muscled opponents, especially on his touchdown run, to get some extra yards. So really good to see there, even though Darrell Williams did not maybe have as big of eye-popping numbers as those two guys did. He was pretty impactful in this game with his route running. And, that's something we saw right before the bye, how much the Chiefs had trusted in him to play as that pass-catching role in the running back room. So I was interested to see how they used the running backs in this game. It's not like it was extra creative or anything, but again, everyone got a good dose of playing time there, and for the most part, came through when they were asked, to carry the load. Looking at a few other scores, I guess, from the Chiefs in this game. So we said the three rushing touchdowns combined between Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell. The first rushing touchdown from Edwards-Helaire is kind of a goal line situation. And when Mahomes kind of dropped back or stepped back to hand the ball off to him, you can see Edwards-Helaire delayed a little bit, just got in over the goal line in the pile. And at first I thought he was on top of bodies, but yeah, you could see him clearly from the one angle they showed. His helmet and the ball was clearly over the goal line. So just good job there, weaving his way in between blockers and defenders and getting the score there. His second rushing touchdown was about 10 to 12 yards, I believe, and, just kind of around the right edge. Good blocking on the outside there by the receiver and tight end. And, one of the cornerbacks or safeties that tried to come up basically ran into his own teammate there, the linebacker on the outside that was getting blocked. So it allowed Edwards-Helaire to basically go in untouched. Stuck the ball out over the edge of the pylon as he dove into the air. So yeah, really, really almost easy looking touchdown there for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There was a lot of pitches and tosses out to the outside in this game used by Kansas City with both Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell, and that's kind of what we saw in that second run for Edwards-Helaire, but also on Le'Veon Bell, his touchdown as well, a toss out to the left side. This was a play, like we said, Bell used his upper body, used his physicality, kind of to run over one of the Raiders defenders and just kind of work his way in between guys there on the left edge. So, and then with the two passing touchdowns from Mahomes, obviously the first one, a little bit of RPO action, Tyreek Hill comes in motion. It's a pretty quick, easy pass there where No one was within 5 to 10 yards of Hill when he caught the ball. So an easy walk-in touchdown after the catch there. And Tyreek Hill, I mean, we'll get to him a little bit. But there was a lot of big catches he made in this game. This one wasn't obviously as difficult, but there was a lot in this game from Hill and even Kelce that I just was in awe of when we saw them make these plays because of just how easy they make some of these difficult catches look against tight coverage. But yeah, the other passing touchdown, of course, the game winner to Travis Kelce, and we'll talk about that, final drive and that play more at the end. Of course, I think the Raiders, from their side of things, you can definitely look at that play and say, oh, it was all kind of gift wrapped to Patrick Mahomes. But I mean, how much Mahomes, holds the defender with his eyes and his legs is really impressive compared to other quarterbacks because of his ability to improvise, his ability to throw on the run. So that was a play, obviously, there. It looked like linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski, I believe, kind of tried to pass him off to Jonathan Abram, expecting Abram to be there. But of course, Kelce was left wide open with Abram kind of, having his eyes stuck on Mahomes, stepping up, assuming that Mahomes is going to take off and run for the first down or something like that, leaves Kelce wide open. So that was the scoring, obviously, from the Chiefs' end. We'll talk Raiders real quick as well. Josh Jacobs started the game off, rushing touchdown up the middle for a couple yards. This was a play where, I mean, all night long it was there. It was kind of funny later on in the game, maybe like, I don't know, third quarter. I was just kind of surprised when they showed Jacobs only had like 9 carries for 40-some yards with that touchdown because it just felt like at that point that he'd already had a 100-yard game. Just because, again, that's the kind of back that the Chiefs really almost struggle with more than any compared to the shiftier, speedier guys. So I was just shocked it was that low number-wise on his rushes and his yards at that point. But, yeah, he got that first touchdown. We saw Carr lob one perfectly back of the end zone in the breadbasket to Nelson Agholor, who got behind the defenders a couple times in this game. This was one play where he did cash in. He had a big drop later in the game, though, that really helped the Chiefs out, of course. But, yeah, good job coming up with this one. Got behind the defender by, a good handful of steps. And Derek Carr placed it in a really good spot. Eventually they would get a field goal as well. The Raiders eventually would get their other touchdowns were, Derek Carr. Carr would have one of the easier throws in his career. Darren Waller was a play action pass. Damian Wilson was a linebacker, kind of covering the running back, I believe, in the flat on that same side where Waller was running to. But yeah, defense completely lost Darren Waller, which he had a big night, of course, catching all 7 of his targets. It's already a very difficult tight end to defend, but, you actually have to attempt to defend him. Chiefs obviously didn't do it on that play, and then, late in the game, minute 43 to go, Carr finds Jason Witten. This was a play where Carr had all the time in the world. Looks like the coverage was going to be perfect all the way around, but where was the weakest point of attack? The Chiefs did this a lot in this game. Tano Passanio, dropping into coverage, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as we get there with the defense. But yeah, I don't know why Passanio dropped back into coverage so much in this game. And this is where a lot of the passes to the flats, the shorter passes that Carr threw or to the tight ends, really kind of hurt the Chiefs. And it led to missed tackles. In this case, it led to a touchdown. And I didn't really doubt Mahomes or Reed to, be able to come back, which they did at that point. I thought, the Raiders obviously used a lot of clock up, were really trying to go as methodical as they could. But yeah, after a few penalties from both sides, we see them finally get that touchdown. So the scoring summary there, just kind of shows you right now where these teams are, pretty balanced offensively with their run and pass game. Of course, the Raiders, I think, everyone knows them a little more for their running game, but this was a game where Derek Carr, I think, deserves a lot of credit. If you look at this from, a baseball standpoint, he basically almost threw a no-hitter in this game, whereas Mahomes still had time late to obviously come back. Mahomes did make some mistakes in this one. The interception threw to the wrong shoulder, a little bit of DeMarcus Robinson. I think Robinson slipped in the play maybe as well. if I remember right. But yeah, he wanted Robinson to come back to the football a little more, but yeah, kind of just misplaced that throw. There was a few others where Mahomes, I think, you know, was lucky that, you know, the receiver was there or the defender didn't have a little bit better chance at going after the football that could have been picked. But overall, I think it's just what amazes me so much on Mahomes is just still how easy he makes it look out there, especially on the game-winning drive. I mean, the first play finds Tyreek Hill over the middle, again, uses his eyes and his the direction that he's dropping back to kind of move the defenders around, allow Hill to find that spot in the zone. Eventually, you know, he hits Mecole Hardman over the middle on kind of a quick slant, and this was a pass that really had to be threaded, you know, perfectly into a spot where only Hardman could get it. Really only time we saw Mecole play in this game on offense, and good throw there. Of course, the touchdown pass we already mentioned a little bit. I mean, his head, his eyes, his head, his legs trying to look like he's taking off and running, obviously baited the safety, Jonathan Abram. But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to me how easy he makes it look out there in those moments. I mean, the confidence that he has, it just, you know, reminds you of, I think, just any kind of, you know, any kind of sport you want to look at, the confidence that he has is, you know, among some of the greatest, where, you know, they just know they're going to do all they can to score on that given play, given drive. And that's something, obviously, that's really helped the Chiefs even more than, you know, the early portions of Andy Reid's tenure. You know, just having that confidence to score at any time and do it, you know, almost effortlessly. So, of course, Raiders defense, Chiefs defense struggled mightily. But, yeah, the two quarterbacks obviously stood out. Derek Carr, I mean, this is something that we saw him kind of show us in 2016, where he was on track to maybe win the MVP that year. Who knows? Take the Raiders to the playoffs. Of course, he got hurt that year. You know, Christmas Eve game, I believe it was, versus the Colts with that broken leg. And, you know, never really was the same. But now he's starting to feel more comfort in John Gruden's system. You know, and I guess, you know, looking at Carr, I think it's always been there. The potential's always been there. But, yeah, him actually just taking what the defense is giving him, staying on schedule, you know, carrying out plays to all levels of the field, that's something that we just haven't seen overall from Derek Carr in a long time. So the Raiders, I think, are going to go as far as Derek Carr is going to take them, especially with the defense kind of, you know, really struggling the way they have this year. They had a good game against the Broncos before the game against the Chiefs, but yeah, this defense has been really troublesome. Jonathan Abram, I mean, I did not realize this until our FPC Raiders managing editor Terry Biggs pointed it out to me, that, you know, Abrams, he's, I believe, leading the league in, or leading the league among safeties and penalties and missed tackles. So this was definitely another questionable mark on his resume. Makes you wonder what his future is going to be for the Raiders right now. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think Derek Carr just showing up the way he did in a moment like that, knowing he has a chance to sweep the Chiefs against, you know, toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, that stood out for sure. So we'll take a quick break here, come back with what stood out even more to me as far as the big picture for Chiefs offense and defense right after this. All right, welcome back to the FPC Chiefs podcast. So the Chiefs offense and defense, right, looking at them in the big picture right now, the AFC, it's so muddy right now in the playoff picture to know what's really going to happen there, who's going to get in. And it's funny because I was looking at this yesterday on Monday, because all the AFC teams had played already, even with Monday Night Football still to go. It's crazy with an expanded playoff format this year, one extra playoff spot in the wild card race. It looks like there could be a 10-6 team in the AFC this year that misses the playoffs. You got Miami is now on the outside looking in after their horrible loss in Denver. The Patriots lost once again. If they were somehow, though, to win out, I mean, they'd be a 10-6 team. Baltimore, bad loss again against the Titans. They should have probably won that game. But, you know, the Titans, great defense to corral Lamar Jackson throughout the game. But overall, I mean, the Ravens are probably not going to win again, I think, on Thanksgiving Thursday night against the Steelers. So you're looking at them already having five losses going into December. It's just crazy right now looking at the AFC because we've not seen the AFC as a whole in the playoff format be this strong. So it's interesting looking at the big picture of things with the Chiefs. I think offensively they're still, I mean, really, really still blocking pretty well as a unit overall. You know, the changes they've had to make have been obvious there. You know, Andrew Wiley is starting to get back into form a little bit. We haven't seen Daniel Kilgore the last few games like we did for a couple in there. But, yeah, I mean, Nick Allegretti, I think, has continued to impress me. But there's no doubt, right, offensive line is going to be a big need this offseason for an area of improvement. And Andy Reid's kind of been labeled a little bit as a guy that has always been able to turn in, you know, under the radar linemen into really good offensive players. We just haven't seen that, I don't think, as much in Kansas City overall than we saw maybe in Philadelphia. But yeah, this is a big area of concern for me when you talk about facing the pass rushes of, say, Pittsburgh or, you know, maybe even a Cleveland in the playoffs, possibly Baltimore if they can get healthy. But we know what the Chiefs' stranglehold is on the Ravens. So obviously that's a big area of concern. I'm also really interested to see what the health going forward is going to be for some guys. Mitchell Schwartz going on IR on Saturday before the Raider game was very concerning just because, you know, he's been one of the best at right tackle in the league for a long time. And, you know, obviously dealt with that back injury for a few weeks before the bye. And now the timing of him going on IR, pretty concerning there. Mike Remmers has done a really good job at right tackle, and he has experience playing pretty much every position at the NFL level except for center. But I think this offensive line, it's just it's flying under the radar right now. I mean, they're not performing horribly. They're not really performing as well as they could be, though, either. It's just I just hope the health-wise and performance-wise, we're not going to see them fall to their last leg at the worst possible time. So I'm really wondering how the offensive line is going to hold up. I was impressed, though, how they did against the Raiders. Really, Mahomes was not pressured too often, and when he was, we saw him spin out, throw a pass to Kelce on the run, rolling to his left. There was a few other plays rolling to his right where he actually was pretty close to completing it, even if it didn't get there. So, but yeah, looking into the future in the offseason, for sure, I think offensive line is going to be a big investment. And again, you had Lucas Niang, you know, draft pick from this past April, opt out. So, you know, if he were playing the season, it really would have been interesting to see him with this mix. But of course, you know, decision to opt out. Respect that definitely during this COVID season. But yeah, I think another thing offensively, health-wise, right, Sammy Watkins looked like he was going to return against the Raiders. You know, had the hamstring injury. Now apparently there's a calf issue, and this has been an issue, you know, throughout his career, lower leg injuries. Injuries have just been a story, unfortunately, during his Chiefs tenure, part of the reason that he took a pay cut to stay with the team this year. And when he's on the field, I think he's obviously a big impact for this team and the Chiefs, but no doubt I think they're looking, you know, at possibly replacing him in the offseason as well, you know, with the draft, with free agency, especially with DeMarcus Robinson potentially being gone again in free agency. So, yeah, that's a big concern. Watkins' health, Schwartz's health. That's just something right there. Is the wide receiver depth going to be able to stick with what we've seen in the past when they've been called upon? Robinson's always done really well when he's needed to. But there was, you know, a couple plays not quite able to come up with against the Raiders Sunday night. Byron Pringle got a little nicked up as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle some of these injury questions. But I think overall, right, the defense, that's the big picture really concerning right now because we've not seen the defense as a whole play real good in the last, you know, probably three games. I mean, against the Jets, they did some good things, don't get me wrong, but I think there was a lot of big plays in that one that, you know, they surprisingly gave up to Sam Darnold after the catch. So we know this defense, it's not obviously looked at as the strength of this team, but looking at how they finished last year and then even some of the things they showed in the first month this season against teams like Houston, Baltimore, New England. It's crazy to see how bad they played Sunday night. And I don't know if it's just a schematic issue with the Raiders. You know, I mean, we know the Raiders' offensive line, one of the best in the league. They entered Sunday night tied for sixth best in the NFL with 14 sacks allowed. But, I mean, creating pressure has been a problem these last few games for the Chiefs, getting to the quarterback. We just have not seen that really since the Denver game in the snow in Week 7. You know, Tershawn Wharton's been a good surprise. But again, we talked about Dono Passanio, and this was something that, you know, Steve Spagnuolo has not really made this mistake. But, you know, former defensive coordinator Bob Sutton, who was obviously not, you know, well-regarded for sure, you know, this reminds me of, you know, dropping Justin Houston back into coverage multiple times in a game. And we haven't seen Passanio do that a lot consistently. It was just this game Sunday night, but very concerning that, you know, you're just not putting guys in position to succeed. And I know Passanio is not, you know, performing from a pass rush standpoint to what he was last year. But yeah, the pass rush, I think, is overall my biggest concern right now, personally, because they're not getting home right now. They're not creating pressure. If they did it all on Sunday night, it was with defensive back blitz help from Tyrann Mathieu or Rashad Fenton, I believe, got in there a little bit as well. So that's going to be something that is got to pick up. And they got a good chance, I think, to improve that this week when they play the Bucs. The Bucs not an easy team to get to the quarterback too often. But, I mean, I think this offensive line a little banged up right now. Ali Marpet's banged up. We saw EQ Shipley, the center, get hurt against the Rams on Monday night. So there is those opportunities. I think that'll be there. But Brady, of course, has always been, you know, very underrated in how he's handled pressure, stepping in and out of the pocket, navigating there, and also being able to throw the ball away when other quarterbacks are going to throw it up for grabs. He did have a bad interception last night, throwing it deep where there was pressure. I think maybe hindered his vision where he really wanted to go with the football. But, I mean, we know Tom Brady. He's going to stand in there. He's going to navigate against the pressure. This pressure, though, is very concerning right now. Steve Spagnuolo has been one of the better defensive coordinators in the league for a while at, you know, designing blitzes with creative looks. But right now, I mean, I just don't know if this was, again, a matchup thing with the Raiders, and it's just an Achilles heel right now against them, or if this is something, you know, that they really are just struggling to really create right now in that defensive line room and pass rush room. Of course, I think, you know, it's really interesting to see how Juan Thornhill was talked about Sunday night. He played the lowest snaps he has all season long. Daniel Sorensen, don't get me wrong, has made some big plays this season, but Sorensen did not overall have a great game Sunday night. Was beat down the field on a lot of passing plays, missed some tackles in the flat. I know Juan Thornhill is probably still a little banged up. I think that's possibly the part of the reason he didn't play a lot against the Raiders. They're maybe easing him back a little bit. I mean, it was a Week 17 torn ACL is where he was coming off of, so it's not like it happened Week 8 of last year. It hasn't really even been a full year since the injury, so the fact that he was ready for the start of the season Week 1 was really a little surprising in itself. But I think, you know, seeing how he has been used a little bit differently these last few games has been really weird. It just, you know, obviously something we're gonna find out more on the field, you know, in the coming weeks, hopefully. Something obviously they're not gonna flat out say. But if it is really just him, you know, easing back into it, I mean, those torn ACL injuries, especially for defensive backs where you're having to change direction and cut and you know, change your platform so much. I mean, this is something that sometimes takes a year and a half to come back from. So just a couple of weird things there that I have questions on in the big picture. You know, I'd like to see more of Thornhill, obviously, and the pass rush get going. But, you know, those missed tackles, that's something that, you know, it's occasionally been a problem for the defense in the past. Not as much the last few games, but it showed up again Sunday night. So this defense, I think they're really, you know, kind of at a point right now, similar to where they were after the last game against the Raiders. They're motivated, I think, you know, and we'll see how they respond. It's a perfect time to try to turn that around against Tom Brady and the Bucs this week. We saw this defense play really good against Tom Brady last year. Of course, though, that was with a lot different personnel in New England. You know, not as good a weapon to round him as he's got in Tampa Bay. So this is going to be a good challenge once again this week. I mean, As good as Patrick Mahomes and the offense generally can be, right? You don't want to always have to rely on them to make all the plays. So, really looking forward to seeing how the Chiefs defense will respond against Brady and the Bucks. I'm gonna hopefully write a piece about that as well later this week. I know it's gonna be a crazy week. It's a good time of year with the holidays, of course. Glad to have football on Thanksgiving. And again, just continuing to make it this far into the season with, the COVID stuff going on. But yeah, I'm hoping to write a piece on the Chiefs defense later this week. Also hoping to maybe get a guest for our next podcast episode to talk Chiefs and Bucks and preview that game, not just with myself, but with a guest as well. So stay tuned for that. Again, those were just some of the things, man, that stuck out against the Raiders, both offensively and defensively, not just for Sunday night, but in the, grand scheme of their season, I think going forward. We know they're still one of the better teams in the AFC and the NFL, but I think this is a big moment right now, even coming off of a win, that they have to really, fine-tune some things and dive deeper into what's really hindering them in those areas. So, of course, you guys can always follow the Full Press Chiefs account on Twitter at FPC underscore Chiefs. Follow myself at Braden Holacek 9 with the number 9 at the end. As far as other Full Press coverage content, every Sunday after the late afternoon games before Sunday Night Football, myself, Ian Blendon, and Kyle Senra usually will be on Sportscaster. So you guys can go to sportscaster.com/fullpresscoverage to find that. Previewing Sunday Night Football, recapping the rest of Sunday around the NFL, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. We had a great show last Sunday just because Kyle, of course, being the Packers managing editor, he was reacting live on the show to the Packers losing late in overtime to the Colts. So crazy NFL Sunday, which makes it even more fun to talk about before the Sunday game. So always check that out again every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central time, sportscaster.com/fullpresscoverage. Of course, you guys can also download the Full Press coverage app from the App Store. That way you guys can find podcast episodes like this and our articles easily in one place, so you don't have to navigate too far to find it. On everybody's team page, the Chiefs page, it's just an easier way to find everything there. Of course, the Raiders, Packers, Bucks, Dolphins, Patriots. I'm sure I'm forgetting some other teams in there. Check their stuff out as well at fullpresscoverage.com. They're doing great stuff over there every day. The Eagles page, I know, had a couple of articles come out today as well. So go check all that out in addition to the rest of the FPC Chiefs articles and podcasts that'll come out this week. Again, hoping to have a guest on to preview Chiefs and Bucks this week, one of the most anticipated games on the schedule. Once again, it should be a fun one late afternoon this Sunday. Tom Brady and the Chiefs, the matchup there. Mahomes is so far 1-2 against Brady, so we're going to see if Mahomes can become 500 against him overall on Sunday. Should be a fun one. So stay tuned for all of that, and we will see you guys next time.